Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. Proverbs 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. Proverbs 15, 2. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our reading and our study for today. 1 Timothy 6, 17. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours to open our minds to these truths. We realize that you have so much for us in life. We're thankful for salvation. We're thankful that you let us live another day. You've blessed us all so richly. We ask that your blessings will be upon Tracy as he leaves on this mission to deliver Bibles. We pray that you'll give grace and strength and comfort to this entire team, protection. We pray that you'll give them wisdom and skill. We pray that they will be able to be successful in all their endeavors from day to day, that you'll take them safely as they fly and travel to various places. And we thank you again for the opportunity which is ours to reveal to others the love of Jesus Christ. Help us to do that faithfully on a day-by-day basis. Help us to know that there are many people who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. And we pray that we will be instruments in your hands to be a proper influence and a proper witness to these individuals. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. You will notice that the title of the sermon for this session is What Fills an Empty Soul? I thought about that a lot and want you to know that you could put a question mark behind that line, or you could put an exclamation mark behind that line. I just want you to see that we did not do either in the bulletin today. What you have is what fills an empty soul. That's a statement. That's not a question. I think it could be an exclamation. What fills an empty soul? In analyzing our verse of Scripture today, 1 Timothy 6:17, I want you to take a look at it. We see it in the English. We see it in the Greek. You see it on the back of your bulletin from the German translation. Let me just remind you that in the German translation, 1 Timothy 6:17 is presented to us in this fashion. Charge the rich in the present time not to be haughty, nor to set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who giveth us richly in all things for enjoyment. On the screen, you see this verse in the original text in the Greek. You see the translation that we have. And as I've analyzed this verse, there are about three different ways that I could go in emphasizing the verse. I want you to see that we're going to read it, and then I'm going to analyze it exegetically with you for a few moments, and then we're going to draw some conclusions. If you'll notice, it says, the rich in the present age, command, or to making that smooth translation, command the rich in the present age. Command the people in the present time. The next part of the verse says that not high-minded, that they be not high-minded, nor to have set their hope on the uncertainty of riches. Now, so far I've seen three things. One is there's a command, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy here, there's a command to the rich in the present age. And then the second thing is that these individuals not be high-minded, egotistical, supercilious, braggadocious. Then it says, nor to have set hope on the uncertainty of riches. You can see that the third emphasis there would be, don't place all of your attention on riches, because you have uncertainty there. And then you'll see that it says, but on God. This is the part that I want you to see, because this is, even though the whole verse is outstanding, and I could preach on any part of this verse, but I want you to see that my question is, what fills an empty soul comes from the last part of the verse, which says, place your emphasis on God. Now, that's the part that I want you to see. Then I want you to see that there's an explanation that God gives us. If you place your emphasis upon God, He's the one offering to us all things richly. I could stop right there. In other words, God is the giver of all things for us richly. And then I couldn't help but see how fantastic this verse is, because the last word says, for your enjoyment. In other words, what I'm seeing here is there's something that fills our souls, that brings about happiness, joy, peace, contentment. And God is saying, I want you to see something. I'm commanding you in relationship to the present, the riches of the present age, that if you have or don't have, don't get smart aleck about it, not high-minded, nor place your hope or confidence on the uncertainty of riches, but place your confidence and trust on God. You see how interesting this passage is? It is so fantastic, because all these facets of this verse are so important. And as I analyze this verse, I've preached on it before, and I couldn't help but see that there's an emphasis here. What is it that fills the empty soul? And there are many people who accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, and they're frustrated, perplexed, bewildered, confused, and they have empty souls, which is tragic and sad. Please, folks, don't go through life with an empty soul. And so this verse of Scripture is telling us, I want you to know that God has so many things to offer us, all of these things, richly, for our enjoyment. I don't want you to miss the last. I looked at this verse and I said, my word, what are we learning here? God desires that we be happy individuals, triumphant individuals, victorious individuals, that we not be losers, but that we be winners. You see it? For our enjoyment. What is telling me from the negative standpoint, if you choose not to be a winner, if you choose not to be triumphant in life, you choose not to advance in God's plan, you're choosing to be a loser, and you're choosing not to have enjoyment. I'm telling you, I'm looking at one side of the coin and I'm looking at the other. Okay, in the few moments before you eat, and I know you're excited about that too, you're always excited about eating. I want to, amen. We're going to have some points that I want to give you on what is it that fills the empty soul. Now, I'm going to let you think for a moment about that before I tell you what my subject is all about. You think about it. What is it that fills your soul? If you have an empty soul, what would it be that would fill your soul, that would bring joy, peace, contentment, and happiness to your life? Okay. There's one word that I believe describes it. It's the word capacity. Now, let's think about this. What would you say is a good definition for capacity? The ability to receive, the ability to hold on to, the ability to absorb, the ability to learn, the ability to retain knowledge. So you see, those are words that I found that describe a definition for capacity. The ability to receive, the ability to hold on to, the ability to absorb, the ability to learn, the ability to retain information from God's Word. Then I tried to find some synonyms for you. Volume, size, dimensions, bulk. In other words, these are just synonyms, words that could describe capacity. Now stay with me and let's move a little more rapidly. One of the things that people don't have, I believe, oftentimes, is self-discipline on a daily basis. Concentration on a daily basis upon the Word of God. All of these things are necessary for spiritual advance. In other words, if you are going to advance as a believer, you're going to have to determine that you have time to concentrate. You have time and take time to focus your attention upon things that are more important than all the distractions of this world, and you focus your mind upon what God has designed for us so that we can be enjoying life. So, capacity for living means to move from instability and insecurity to the high road of stability and security. Now, you've heard me say this before, and I realize that I need to say things over again. I repeat myself only because I'm aware of the fact that many times I don't and I should. Capacity for living means to move from instability and insecurity, which means dependence on the world system, to the high road of stability and security, which means dependence upon God's system. And God's system is a system of grace. Please put this into your thinking. When you leave here today, be aware of the fact that the only way that you and I can fulfill God's plan is for us to appreciate the fact that He's designed for us great happiness, great enjoyment, but we've got to have capacity. Capacity then is totally dependent, number four, upon a proper response to God who made us, loves us, and has a plan for our lives. So simple and yet so profound. Capacity, I repeat, number four, is totally dependent upon a proper response to the God who made us, loves us, and has a fantastic plan for us. Let me show you number five. This is so interesting. Apart from a perpetual, ceaseless, incessant, daily intake of spiritual food, there's no blessing in life worth really having, no matter what it is. So you see what I put down here. Apart from a perpetual, ceaseless, incessant, daily intake of spiritual food, no blessing, no matter what it is worth having. Number six, priorities will be kept straight when a person is consistently in love and occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get up in the morning, your thoughts should be my relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has for me for this day. Not on all the things that you have to do. Because when you wake up in the morning, I promise you, you'll think about several dozens of things that you need to do. And you'll rush into those things without taking time out to think about your relationship to Jesus Christ and what does He want me to think about, which is more important than all these details of life. Priorities will be kept straight when a person is consistently occupied with Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? What I'm trying to tell you is, I know that you and I have a lot of things to do on a given day. You have things already lined out. Some of you have been thinking about it while I've been preaching, all you have to do for tomorrow. You've been thinking about your school. You've been thinking about your work. You've been thinking about your family. You've been thinking about all the details that you have in store for you for tomorrow. And when you wake up in the morning, if you're not careful, you're going to be in your mind thinking about all those things, and you'll have them all numbered out. I'm going to do this first, and then this second, this third. Do you see what I'm saying? Am I where we live today? Sure. So what I'm saying is, priorities will be kept straight when a person is consistently occupied with Christ. In other words, all these steps that need to be taken and should be taken will be taken properly if you start off right. Number seven, a person oriented to God's grace focuses on the source of blessings rather than on the blessings. Most of the time, if we're not careful, we will find ourselves so happy with how we're blessed. I mean, we appreciate life. We appreciate our clothes. We appreciate our house. We appreciate all these things. and we're more occupied with the blessings than we are with the blessor. So a person who's oriented to God's grace focuses on the source of the blessings rather than the blessings. Then number 8, true capacity resides in the soul. Therefore, true love and happiness reside in the soul. Your soul is the real you, not your body. Your body is dying. How often do I need to talk about this? You're living in a dying body. I just want to be happy. I want you all to be happy knowing that you're living in a dying body. How about that? You're living in a dying, we're all living in a dying body. What is more important to us? The body? No. What's important is the soul and the spirit. So what am I saying? A person grace-oriented focuses on the source of blessings rather than the blessings. And then, number 8, true capacity resides in the soul. Therefore, true love and true happiness reside in the soul. I'm moving rapidly. Number 9, Christian advance is the only way that priorities in life can remain straight. In other words, the only way that you and I will be victorious in life is to have our priorities straight. And our Christian advance then, on a day-by-day basis, will make it possible for us to have our priorities straight. The priorities in life will remain straight if we keep our growing and advancing in the Lord straight. I realize that this is so practical. Number 10, we must place then our confidence in the source of the blessings in order to enjoy the content of the blessings. You ought to write that down somewhere, folks. We must place our confidence in the source of the blessings in order to enjoy the content of the blessings. When the believer neglects truth, the focus will be upon the blessings. And when confidence is on the blessor, then the blessings can be appreciated and enjoyed. Now let me see if I can not talk in circles and tell you that we have a responsibility of focusing our attention upon the blessor. And when we have our attention focused on the blessor, then we will enjoy properly the blessings. Now, you're saying, could you say that in a different way? I didn't think you'd ever ask me to do that, but you have, because I just heard it. You just think I'm hearing things, aren't you? At this age, you may be hearing all kinds of things. Anyway, here we go. Let's summarize it very quickly. What fills an empty soul? Capacity for living is totally dependent upon our response to God. I'm saying all that I said before in a little different way. Number 2. Capacity means that we move from instability, insecurity, to stability and security. People desire stability and they desire security. Capacity is what fills our soul. If we have the right relationship to Jesus Christ, then we're going to move from instability in life to stability and security in life. Number 3, capacity then removes roadblocks. Now, I'm not going to stand here and tell you and name your roadblocks or mine. But all of us have roadblocks. We have many things that will come into our lives that can really foul us up. And if we're not careful, whatever it is, we can begin to focus our attention upon those things, and those roadblocks will keep us from being where God wants us to be. If we have capacity, if we grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior, then these roadblocks will be moved aside. Capacity removes roadblocks. Number 4, capacity means that the priorities are straight. I said that in the previous 10 points. I'm saying it differently now, but I want you to see. Capacity means that the priorities are straight. Number 5, the source of blessings, rather than the blessings, reveals that Jesus Christ is preeminent in our lives. We love Jesus Christ preeminently. The source of blessing rather than the blessings, reveal our occupation with Him. Number six, capacity then is the result of our loving Jesus Christ supremely and absolutely nothing else. You see what I'm saying? Now, you don't think I have fun typing these things out for you? Now, you don't have as much fun hearing it, I can tell. You just don't get as excited about these things as I do. That's the reason why I'm typing all this in capital letters. Do you know that in the language of the internet and computer, you're shouting when you put it in capital letters, I'm told. So I want you to understand that I have been shouting to you ever since I started this second service. The source of blessings, number five, rather than the blessings, reveal our fact that Jesus Christ is first. Number six, capacity is the result of our loving Jesus Christ supremely and nothing else. And number seven, consistent Christian advance keeps priorities straight. Number eight, neglecting Bible study results in the focus moving from the blessor to the blessings. Now, listen to that carefully. See what I'm saying. I'm shouting it to you. If we neglect the Word of God, that will result in the focus of our lives being upon the blessings rather than the blessor. Neglecting Bible study results in the focus moving from the Lord to the blessings. That's what I'm saying. Number nine, love for the Lord, the blessor, will cause the blessed to enjoy the blessings. I have to tell you, I'm having fun doing this, but I just see you folks are just about as solemn as a jug. I'm telling you, you've got to see this. Love for the Lord, love for the blessor, will cause the blessed to enjoy the blessings. If you and I will grow in God's grace over a period of time, we'll get to a point where God is able then, because of our capacity, to bless in whatever ways He chooses. And we will be appointed at a point in our lives where we can take the blessings, enjoy the blessings, and keep our focus on the Lord. Appreciate the blessings. Oh, yes. But keep our focus on the Lord. Number 10, our confidence is in the source of the blessings in order to enjoy the content of the blessings. Did you see that? Our confidence then is in the source of the blessings in order to enjoy the content of the blessings. Our church is so blessed. Did you realize we have been the recipients of God's grace in so many fantastic ways? And one of those ways now is for us to pray earnestly, consistently, emphatically for Tracy Price as he leaves this coming Friday, not on Saturday, but Friday. And I want you to understand something. You need to pray not only for Tracy, but you need to pray for Mary and the kiddos, because he's going to be gone for a couple of weeks, and it's not going to be easy on them. And in fact, he's going to be having more fun really than we all are back at home. But it's going to also be a challenge for him. As most of you realize that carrying Bibles the way that this particular system is not always going to be an easy task. And you need to pray earnestly. And so I've asked Tracy to come up here. And I want us all, before we have a prayer of thanksgiving for the food, I want us to spend some time in prayer for Tracy. This is important. Tracy, if you'll come, please. I realized that Tracy was trying not to be emotional in the session this morning, and when we hugged, he cried. And I understand this, the temptation of being emotional in a situation like this. But after we spend a few moments in silent prayer, then Tracy's going to lead us in prayer. And in that prayer, he will also thank the Lord for the food so that we can move back there in a little while and have our lunch together. First of all, we're going to just be in silence for a little while, praying for this mission endeavor. Would you bow, please, and join us in prayer?
family that you've provided for Mary and I and my children. I thank you for all the wonderful grace and the mercy that you've shown upon us, the blessings you've shown upon this church, and just raising up the true Christian believers that knows the difference between the right and the wrong and what we need to do in this world, dear Lord. I thank you for Roy and his teachings, and allow us each and every day to contemplate what he's telling us and use this in our everyday life, dear Lord, that we may go out and to spread your word and to guide others to come to you and to know you in a personal relationship, dear Lord. I pray that you would just give us the tools through your word, the wisdom and knowledge of what to say and when to say, dear Lord, that you will speak through us and allow us to just become the disciples that you need us to be, dear Lord. I pray that you will also bless the food that we're about to eat. I pray that you would just continue to guide each and every step that we take. I pray these things in the heavenly name of Jesus Christ. Amen.